Hey everybody, welcome to an episode of the Nintendo Wirecast. My name is Hiro TJ, and I'm here with my good friend, Amiibo Jason.
How's it going?
A little bit of a break. I'm doing really good. How about you?
I'm doing great.
Are you refreshed, renewed, ready to go?
I am tickled pink right now.
I am
thrilled about the news we got. I'm beyond thrilled. I'm over the moon. It's 9 months in the making. It's an announcement that I have been wanting for way too long. And we've talked about this on the podcast for the last, 5 months?
Yeah, ad nauseum. Like, we just were desperate and hoping to get out of No Man's Land.
Yeah.
As pertains to Amiibo, your namesake.
Amiibo are back, baby! They're back.
They're back.
They're good to go. I mean, we have some time to wait. But still, we have the pictures of them. We know they're coming, and they look amazing. They look so good.
They really do.
So we're going to talk about that. We have Min Min coming to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Once again, my 100% track record of being dead wrong about Super Smash Bros. Fighters, with the exception of Bayonetta, is continuing. So I'm very happy about that. I'm happy to still be totally wrong.
I had a feeling about this one.
Yeah.
And it was evident from my predictions video. I've been kind of calling this one for a while. I didn't know which rep it was going to be, but Min Min was amongst the candidates that I thought were highly likely.
It makes sense.
It makes sense. She was the most likely, I thought, because she didn't already have an assist trophy, and she was the fan favorite in that contest. But it was really nice to have Sakurai like lift the curtain a little bit and be like, you know, there are a lot of fighters here, but some of you suspected it was going to be Spring Man.
Yeah.
But it's Min Min. You want to know why it's going to be Min Min? Because the powers that be specifically requested Min Min, and that was the one they wanted. And he's like, and I wanted Min Min too, so that's why.
I like her. I do.
I do too. I like her a lot. And so you know what I just found out, which I did not know because I didn't really follow ARMS that closely.
Yeah.
Was that when I saw the tweet announcing Min Min that was in Japanese, her name is Mien Mien.
Mien Mien.
Which actually means noodle in Chinese.
That makes sense.
So when my kid, for those of you guys who don't know, I live in Taiwan, so Chinese is the spoken language here. And Mien is what you order when you're getting noodles on the street all the time or in a restaurant.
Very nice. I mean, it works out. It makes sense based on her character.
Americans say main, like you say chow mein.
Yeah, chow mein, lo mein.
But it's actually lo mien, chow mien.
I'm liking that. I'm liking that.
Her arms
besides
are noodles.
That, oh, go ahead.
Her arms are noodles.
Very true.
It makes sense.
So besides that, we have Pokemon Snap 2, or new Pokemon Snap. Nintendo loves that new.
They do. I wish they just called it 2 or Switch.
It makes sense. I mean, it makes sense. I guess they want to make it. You know, part of me wonders if they're concerned that people might think if they make a sequel on a game that's 20 years old, if they call it 2, would they think that there might have already been a 2? And maybe it's a remaster of 2?
Yeah, it's been so long.
Like,
you remember with Luigi's Mansion 2, they called it Luigi's Mansion 2 in the UK, but in America they called it Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon. There was no 2, even though it was a sequel, and it was because they were afraid that there was going to be some confusion or people would be turned off because they were afraid that they hadn't played the original and that they'd be lost. But and then I started to think, why is Nintendo doing this new naming convention? Because it really is off-putting and confusing.
Yeah.
And they should just start naming everything according to the console. But then, like, for example, let's say they made Pokemon Snap Wii, Pokemon Snap Wii U, Pokemon Snap Switch. It made sense to me. But then they started remastering or re-releasing games from previous consoles, and that got even more confusing, like Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe for Switch. So maybe with Knuckles. So I found the error in my naming convention. But it is strange that they just keep going back to that new thing.
Yeah. I'm excited for it, no matter
what. It's not new anymore.
It's not new. That's true. It looks great. It does. So we're going to talk about that. We have a Pokemon event tomorrow at 8 a.m., so 11 hours from now. Yeah. That's exciting, too. So we have no idea what's going to come of that. By the time this podcast gets out in, like, into the wild, there's going to be news out there anyway.
Yeah, so. The popular chatter I'm hearing is that people think there's going to be another installment in the Let's Go series.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. And it does. There was a leak about a new Pokeball Plus about 2 or 3 months ago. So, I mean, if they're making a new Pokeball Plus, it would make sense to bundle it with, like, Let's Go Kanto. That's my money, too. My money is dead on that.
So you think it's going to be a Let's Go Gold and Silver kind of
thing? Oh, for sure. I think it's going to be Let's Go Kanto.
To me, Gold and Silver is the Gold and Silver standard of Pokemon games. There was never a game that delighted and surprised more than that one for me.
I think it would be interesting for sure. But it can't obviously follow the Game Boy games too closely, or else they'd have to put the entire like Kanto region on the game too.
Yeah, which is why it totally can.
I don't see that happening.
If they can hold it on a Switch, they can. I mean, hold it on a Game Boy, they can hold it on a Switch.
Oh, I'm not saying that they can't hold it on there. I'm saying that Nintendo wants their money, and so does the Pokemon Company, and they'd want you to buy Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee to experience the Kanto region.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to, just like it didn't keep people from buying Red and Blue, I don't think it's going to stop people from buying this.
It was a different time, though.
It was a different time.
I feel like there was a lot less greed and competition back then.
Really? I don't know.
In the handheld market, the competition was not super, super tense.
The only thing they're really competing with now is smartphones, wouldn't you think? Because otherwise, they've got the handheld on lock.
That's true. But smartphones is a pretty tough market.
Pretty big.
For sure. No Pokemon. Everybody has one.
No Pokemon, though, except for these new Pokemon apps that they released. One of them was announced in the last Pokemon one, being Pokemon Smile, which we talked a little bit about. And
let's talk about that real quick.
Let's do this.
So we will talk about Min Min coming up here in a second, but I want to hear your Pokemon Smile story. I've heard bits and pieces of it, because Pokemon Smile is supposed to make you smile.
It's supposed to be
a foolproof way of getting your kids to be happy when brushing their teeth. And apparently it might not be.
Let me take you a little bit back. In Taiwan, the announcement was, I think at like 10 at night, like pretty late. So I had just finished fighting with all three of my kids to get their teeth brushed and put off to bed so that I can start handling my stuff. So I get them all to bed. I'm really kind of stressed out. And it tends to be a pretty typical nightly ordeal. So the first thing that I see on that Nintendo thing after I just finished fighting with all my kids to brush their teeth is this out of the blue, zany, crazy commercial saying, "Hey, are you a parent struggling with tooth time?" I'm like, "Yes, that's me." I immediately paused it. I went and I found my wife and we watched it together. And we're both sitting there and we have Pokemon reveal this phone app that gets kids excited about brushing and want to brush. I'm like, this is right up my alley. My kids are 3, 5, and 7, and I fight with all of them to brush their teeth every day. So I am totally for this. And the first time that we played it was the next day, and it has a very slight learning curve. You just got to kind of figure out how to get the system to read you, but it was pretty responsive and it was pretty good. 2 out of my 3 kids caught a Pokemon. All 3 of them loved it, and all 3 of them were very excited to do it again the next day. Then the next morning, my daughter's getting ready for school, and she's like, "Okay, I want to switch my – you get to pick a starter at the very beginning. My daughter picked Charmander. My son picked – my middle son picked Pikachu, and my last son picked Bulbasaur, and that's your profile icon. So as you switch between them in the app, between which kid is brushing, you just push – their respective Pokemon. My daughter's like, "Okay, I want to switch Charmander to Eevee now." And I said, "I don't think you can do that. I think you're stuck with your starter. You can put on an Eevee hat if you want.
Yeah.
You can use Eevee stickers. I think your icon is forever going to be Charmander." So, which means she has a little dancing Charmander on the screen while she's brushing her teeth. And she just broke into tears. I'm like, give me a second. Let me see if I could figure this out.
Yeah.
So I'm going through it. I'm trying to figure out all these, pushing every settings button. If it is possible to do, I could not find a way. I don't think you can. She had only brushed her teeth one day previously. So if I was really smart, I should have just deleted her profile then and there and made a new one. But because time was ticking and we needed to get to school, the tantrum just got exacerbated. I'm like, okay, we're not doing it now. This is no more time for Pokemon Smile. Go brush your teeth regular. Like sobbing, next level
Pokemon
stuff.
Frown.
It's a Pokemon tantrum. Like I could not even believe that that she was so emotionally racked by the disappointment of not being able to switch to Eevee that I wound up banning Pokemon Smile. Like I was so frustrated that I didn't have my most shining dad moment. I'm like, if Pokemon Smile isn't going to make you smile, we're not playing Pokemon Smile ever. I'm deleting it off my phone.
So did you delete it?
I didn't, but I did delete her profile. Ooh, and then I
tough break.
I replaced it with Eevee because she had only had the one and a half bad experiences. And then, of course, the next time I'm the best dad ever because I solved the problem.
Yeah.
But there is still an ongoing struggle because for those of you guys who haven't attempted to play it, what you're doing is you're brushing your teeth and the camera is registering the action of your toothbrush and your face on the screen. And based on how well you're brushing, it's removing germs from your teeth and also removing germs from a Pokemon that appears in the middle of the screen that you're trying to catch. So if you get all the germs off your teeth, it gives you the opportunity to scrub the germs off of the Pokemon. And if you can remove all of the germs, then after the toothbrushing session is over, you can catch the Pokemon by throwing a Pokeball or a Master Ball at it. Those are the only two balls I've seen, but there might be other ones in there too. And if they don't catch that Pokemon, it is another meltdown. And because they can do a great job brushing their teeth, and the game is still a little bit challenging, they really only get I'll say the average has been we average playing the game maybe six times a day because there's three of them and they do it twice.
Yeah.
Almost every time, two out of three of them catch the Pokemon. So one of them is very sad and very disappointed after brushing teeth, which almost makes it worse than when I was fighting them to brush their teeth. Because then it takes a little while to get them out of that funk of you didn't catch your Pokemon. And if it's a Pokemon they really like or they're really attached to or they really want, then the disappointment is that much more exacerbated.
I feel like they should let the kids catch the Pokemon. Like, I get it's a game, but it's a brushing your teeth game. I mean, it's barely a game.
So
it's
a means to an end. What my feeling about it is, they give you a certain amount of time to brush your teeth. They should remove the time limit and give you as long as it takes to brush your teeth correctly.
Yeah.
So like if there are still germs because you didn't do a good enough job, then you do what every parent does when your kids don't do a good enough job. You do it more.
Yeah.
You do it longer. If your teeth are dirtier than usual, you brush longer. There's no rule in real life that says you have to complete brushing your teeth in 90 seconds.
Yeah.
If you don't finish brushing your teeth in 90
You're
seconds,
done.
Then too bad. If you need 3 minutes to brush your teeth, if you need 4 minutes to brush your teeth, take 3 or 4 minutes. And I think that would take some of the pressure out of it. The fact that failure is such a common eventuality in this game doesn't lead to smiles. It leads to frustration and disappointment. So it's failing in its capital core conceit is we're going to make your kids happy and want to brush. You do that sometimes, and sometimes you really disappoint my kids to the point where I don't want to use the app, and I don't think that's the point. I respect the idea because nobody else is thinking that. There's nobody else out there like, hey, let's leverage our brand. Let's take our characters and make this free application. It's free. It costs nothing so that kids get excited about doing a very boring and mundane daily task that they have to do. I love that Nintendo's head is there.
It is advertising, but, though. I mean, they know what they're doing. They're planting Pokemon in your kid's head first thing in the morning and last thing at night.
Yeah, that's true.
They know what they're doing. Now, here's the million-dollar question, TJ. Have you played it?
I have not played it myself, although my kids have recruited me to brush their teeth because they're afraid that if they do it themselves, they're not going to be able to catch the Pokemon. And my success rate is equal to theirs. So
yeah.
2 out of 3 times I can get it, but there's 1/3 of the time for whatever reason. And I haven't figured out exactly what prevents it from happening. And I'm not sure if it's a sliding scale based on age either. Yeah. Like if it's a little bit more challenging for other kids. I've seen some other people on social media who are full on adults and play this game and have struggled with catching the Pokemon also. So whatever the game is reading to determine how good you're actually brushing your teeth,
yeah.
I haven't figured out that way.
You know, part of me wants to like take a break right now and challenge you to a game of Pokemon Smile. I'm dead serious about this. I don't have the app, but I'm getting it.
I don't think I could do it because I think there might be a 3 profile limit.
Is there really? So just
I'm not sure,
take one of your kids' profiles.
They would not be happy. Oh, they would be disappointed thrilled. They would be if I caught a Pokemon on it.
All right, I'm downloading this bad boy. So how do you do it? Do you have to like hold the phone?
What I did was I used a phone holder, actually like the Wii U gamepad holder, which is still the greatest holder ever invented. And then I have it's sitting on the sink in the bathroom because it's toothbrushing, so you got to spit at some point.
All right.
And I don't know if it's super podcast friendly, but
I'm going to figure out a way for the next podcast. I'm going to hook my phone up to the stream and I'm going to try this out. I'm not going to try it out until then. I want it to be a brand new, fresh experience for all of us.
That will be joyous.
So we will do that. Cool. I mean, obviously we're on Pokemon, so let's talk about Pokemon Snap real quick. Again, this is something that I have been just begging the Pokemon company to do for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it made the most sense to do it on the Wii U.
Yes.
With the gamepad. I mean, it was kind of like a camera. I'm not sure why they never did. It really makes no sense to me why they didn't use that beautiful piece of technology with a camera on it to do some sort of augmented reality Pokemon Snap. But this looks good. I mean, overall, it looks like it's pretty much what I would want. I mean, Bandai Namco is taking the helm, which I think they're going to do a good job. The first one was done by HAL Laboratories, so the creator of Kirby. The imagery looked great. I mean, Wailord was the size of Wailord. I mean, everything looked to be pretty much what it should look like. The character is not Todd from the original Pokemon Snap. It's not anime-themed or anime-inspired either. The first Pokemon Snap, if you don't know, was very closely tied to the anime, to the point where they got the voice of Professor Oak from the anime to do the voice of Professor Oak in this game. And then they brought Todd, a character from the anime, to this game too. This one looks like it's just tied directly to Sword and Shield. To the point where the character that we saw in the buggy looks like a generic Pokemon Sword and Shield avatar. So my guess is, if I had to guess, there's going to be some sort of integration between the two games. And it's probably going to be pretty simple. You could probably take your avatar from Sword and Shield and move it over to this game and have that person take the pictures.
Oh, really?
That would be cool. That's my guess.
Again, that would be a surprising level of interactivity if they did that. I think that would be pretty cool.
The character looked super just avatar generic. So
who knows?
Maybe they'll just give you the same kind of like create your character here. But I think it would be nice if they could let you take your character from Sword and Shield, though.
Could you tell if the game is still on rails?
It's on rails. Like, yeah.
Okay.
For sure. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe they'll let you take the car off rails this time to a certain degree, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be an on-rail thing.
I liked that. I think it was kind of one of the more appealing aspects of the game was that you could relax about the movement. You were focusing more on just trying to capture the pictures.
Yeah.
Do you recall if Pokemon Snap for Nintendo 64 was the first time that we ever got to see Pokemon in 3D?
I think it was. So
I remember that being such a novel experience for me when I first played Pokemon Snap. And that was the main appeal, was I just wanted to see what all these Pokemon that I had previously only ever seen in these tiny little Game Boy sprites would look like in this fully rendered console version.
So, what now came we've out seen first, though? Super Smash Bros. Or Pokemon Snap?
Oh, I'm not sure. But that would have been... I think Pokemon Snap did.
Okay.
But I'm not for sure on that.
Well, let me look it up. Super Smash Bros. Release dates. Oh, not that one. Okay, January 21st, 1999. Pokemon Snap release dates was on March 21st, 1999. So technically, Super Smash Brothers has a beat by 2 months.
Okay.
So, I mean, granted, we didn't get to see many Pokemon, but you had Pikachu and you had just the assist Pikachu trophies.
So. Oh, yeah. Pikachu and Jigglypuff, at least.
Yeah. And the assist trophies and whatever that... I can't remember the name of the town that you got to play in that game.
Yeah. But something about transforming the Pokemon world and shooting pictures of Pokemon seemed so organic. It was a really natural extension of what somebody might do in a Pokemon world, because we knew that people caught them to fight them. But there would certainly be people who want to just explore the world of Pokemon for the purposes of like National Geographic type interest.
Yeah. So, and by the way, Pokemon Stadium came out first.
Did it really?
Yeah, I'm shocked by that. So that was August 1st, 1998. So that is
it came out a year?
Like 6 months.
Oh. Yeah, so maybe...
I remember picking up Pokemon Snap first.
I think I did too.
Maybe it just that's just the way it happened, but I totally thought that was the first one.
Hmm.
Either way.
It's funny how the brain kind of remaps time. Or maybe just the order that we experienced it.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Inform them. Then, with this Pokemon Snap 2, let me back
new
up
Pokemon Snap. Thank you.
Yeah, my apologies. One of the biggest things that I remember about Pokemon Snap was at the time there was 151 Pokemon, and not all of them were included in the game. There's what, like some, I don't remember, 60 or 70 of them, maybe half of them.
Something like that.
So now we got 1,000 Pokemon. How many of these do you think are going to find their way into a new Pokemon Snap?
A few hundred, I would imagine. I mean, obviously, we saw Pokemon from Kanto all the way up to Galar in this. So we saw loads and loads of Pokemon. I'm expecting there to be quite a few. I don't think it's going to be as crazy low as we saw in Pokemon Snap. I think most of the fan favorites are going to make it, but who knows? It's not going to be all of them. I mean, I can't imagine it's going to be all of them. I mean, that would be insane. If Sword and Shield can't get all of them and Pokemon Snap does, imagine the community outcry on that one.
Do you think that this could be something where if the game is successful, as I anticipate it will be, they release like new Pokemon packs, and they continue to support the game with DLC over a protracted period of time by giving you new areas or new Pokemon that you can try to take pictures of?
Maybe. I don't know if I'd see that happening, but I mean, it would be nice. My hope is that there's some sort of stupid, crazy partnership with like Best Buy or something where you can take your card in and like do the whole Pokemon Snap Station thing. I mean, you know me. I love the Pokemon Snap Station. I have my own right
you
here.
You own one.
Right next
to
me. It is such a fun piece of tech. So I would love to see that make a comeback. I mean, obviously, Blockbuster, it's not going to happen. I mean, technically, Nintendo could partner with the one remaining Blockbuster in Oregon and set
the
Snap Station there.
A very ill-advised partnership.
Yeah, probably not the best idea.
You know, though, they've started to make taking pictures, or screen captures, rather, a pretty big part of the regular gaming experience, to the extent where they've actually added a button onto the controller. So you can take a picture anytime you feel like it, and then transfer that picture anytime you feel like it onto any other device. So if you wanted to, you could quite easily print your own pictures.
Not fun.
Or take your own, like take these pictures to some professional printing place and have them.
You need to go get a smart card, which I always have one on my desk for in case of emergency.
You never know. You never know when you're going to need one of those.
You need a kiosk. It has to be nostalgic. It can't just be print them off on your home printer. It's got to be.
Kids don't care though. Kids don't care.
Like, they do though. My daughter loves when I print on this thing. She thinks it makes a lot of noise and it lights up. I mean, it's fun.
I wonder. You know, kids now have a completely different experience when it comes to pictures. Like when you show a kid a picture in a frame, they try to swipe it to see what's next. That's
true. But screw the kids. It's not about the kids. Pokemon's not about kids anymore. We know that. It's about us.
Pokemon Smile is made for 30-year-old men.
Look at all this white in my hair. I am the target audience for Pokemon Snap. It's my game.
You know that I know you're joking, but I think that there is something to that with Pokemon that not a lot of other genres of game have, where every age group claims ownership.
Yeah.
If you're a kid now and you're playing the game, it's made for you, just like it was made for us when we were kids. But because it was made for us when we were kids and we still enjoy it, it's also somehow has to be made for us as adults. And that's a lot to live up to for a video game franchise. And Nintendo's, it's getting what seems to me harder and harder to appeal to a base that's getting larger and larger. Because you're trying to, how do you appeal to core adult gamers who have been playing Nintendo games for over 30 years? And then also appeal to the kids that they first were targeting when we were young. That's a tough nut to crack, and they balance it pretty good. I think the best example is the mellow mode in Yoshi. Like, yeah, you can play this, and it's a really, really stiff challenge in Yoshi's Woolly World, Yoshi's Crafted World. Or you can put those wings on and make it a much more chill experience.
It's very my daughter started off on that game in the mellow mode. She even found a way to get stuck in mellow mode, too. So
nice.
But now she's like playing games with me, like she's beating me. I mean, she is growing up, and it's absolutely crazy to watch.
It's a really awesome time to be a parent gamer, I think, because we are passing the torch in some ways, but we also still get to run alongside them. So being able to play games cooperatively with players that are 30 years younger than you, and both people be engaged and both people have fun is really a testament to how successful Nintendo is at bridging that age gap. And most of their core franchises have that appeal.
Very
Smash
true.
Brothers also. You could put Smash Brothers, little kids can play it with adults, and there's a lot of different ways you can configure how you play so that everyone's enjoying themselves.
So, obviously, I know we need to talk about Super Smash Bros. And Amiibo. I mean, we're on Pokemon, so should we just kind of wrap up the Pokemon segment with what's happening tomorrow?
Yeah. So, did we talk about this on the show about Johto and Gold? My brain is.
I think we briefly touched on it.
I think that would be. I'm not counting on that. On there being another installment in the Let's Go series, but I think that of everything that they could announce, that is what would excite me personally the most. I think Let's Go was a ton of fun. We got to try it out at E3 before it actually came out.
Yeah.
And so we got to play with the Pokemon ball. And my feeling was, they need to fix this catch mechanic and this game will be perfect. If they can find some way to make you not have to catch Pokemon in this extremely obnoxious way, then this game is going to be maybe the best Pokemon game ever made. They did not fix it. Handheld mode was an improvement, definitely. I hated that catching Pokemon was locked behind a very inferior motion control throw, because we had been kind of conditioned previously to catch Pokemon with extreme levels of responsiveness from Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go, you flick it harder, the ball goes farther. You can directionally aim it, all that good stuff. I like there being challenges where the Pokemon is moving and you have to try to like get it. But the way that they connected the movement to the control and the motion was very off. And so I found that to be super off-putting. But that notwithstanding, I still enjoyed the game. And I played it with my kids. Co-op Pokemon is where it is at. I've been waiting for co-op Pokemon my entire life, and Pokemon Let's Go delivered on that. So if they could make another one, and I'm not sure how widespread the discontent is about the catching mechanic or if it's just me being sour about it, but if they could find some way to fix that, then another installment would be very welcome.
They need to add pro controller support. I mean, it's crazy to think that after all this time, it's been over a year, that they didn't patch the game to add that in. Obviously, the controls are built into the game already. I mean, you can take it into handheld mode and use pretty much what a pro controller would do in that game. So I'm shocked they never added that functionality to it. But I agree. I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be Let's Go Meryl? I guess, does that make... And Let's Go Pichu?
I think those were probably the two Pokemon that were the most key in the advertisements and the promos at the time. I worked at Toys R Us as a Pokemon Master
when
that game came out. And one of the Pokemon Master responsibilities was running the Pokemon trading card game tournaments that they did every weekend. And the promo card that they sent us when that game released was Meryl. And we had tons of them. It was a Pokemon exclusive, like a box of 1,000 of them. Thousands of them.
People went nuts for that. People, do you remember back in the day, this is just off topic, but a picture of Meryl leaked. And people thought it was Pika Blue.
Pika Blue? Yeah, totally.
And so did I. This was playground gossip 101. It was such a blast. Everybody thought Pika Blue was in Red, Blue, and Yellow. You had to do all this crazy stuff to get him. It was such a fun... It was actually my first experience with the internet. I remember logging on to some weird Pokemon chat room where people were sharing fan art and photos of what was supposedly Pika Blue and how to get it. It was crazy times.
I was disappointed, kids don't get that stuff. No, they don't. They don't.
Everything gets data mined. And it's like, oh, we data mine the game. There's nothing in there. I mean, it happens 10 minutes after the game's out.
Right. And sometimes 2 weeks before the game comes out, as is the case often with Pokemon. Yeah, I was disappointed when I found out it was Meryl. And all the kids were too, because the Pikachu, Pika Blue chatter was happening for weeks, maybe even months before I actually got the official card. So for many kids, I personally was the means through which they learned the truth.
Yeah.
Because I was like, here it is, guys. Official. This is official confirmation.
I still remember the first time I saw Meryl. It was Pokemon the first movie. There was a small little mini movie ahead of the big movie. I think it was called Pikachu's Vacation.
Yeah.
And I think it showed off Meryl. And was it Snubbull? Was Snubbull Gen 2?
I know that Togepi was released pretty early. Also, that was one of the...
Yeah, Togepi was one too. Snubbull was number 209. I think that was one too.
I think the first three that really come to my mind are Togepi, Meryl, and Pichu.
Yeah.
When it comes to Pokemon that exist outside of that original 151. I'm not sure what route they would go, but I don't personally think any of those three are game sellers. I don't think any of them have they're not in the same categories as Pikachu or Eevee.
I don't think they'd give you Pichu as a starter, being a baby Pokemon. That's tough. Let's crack this nut real quick. What do you think it's going to be? So if it is Let's Go and they do stick with that naming convention, which would make sense. Part of me is maybe Let's Go Gold, Let's Go Silver.
I think that would be stronger if they did something like that, because the gold and the silver name, I think, gives us a stronger connection to the game than any of the Pokemon that were introduced in Gen 2.
Yeah.
And if, yeah, I think that might be the way to go. One of the cool things about Gen 2 that I remember is you had that in-game event that could let you catch a red Gyarados.
Yeah.
And once I realized that could happen, that was the only Pokemon that I ever wanted to use in any game henceforth. Is I want a red Gyarados in everything.
Yeah.
Because it was catching shinies, as they're called, which is a strange name for it because they're really like different colors. But catching them is so rare, and I've never found one in any Pokemon game ever. And I've played most Pokemon games. Yeah. I've never seen a shiny. But
my first one was in gold. Random. I had no idea what was going
random?
On. Random? Yeah, it was a shiny Hoot Hoot.
When was it? A Hoot Hoot.
Hoot Hoot. And nice. I thought that was amazing, too, because Ash found a shiny Hoot Hoot in the game, too. Actually, was it a Hoot Hoot or a Noctowl that Ash found? I can't remember.
Oh, I don't know. But you're like the show. You're like Ash. You're like the real Pokemon trainer.
I was pretty stoked about that. And now I play Pokemon Go. I caught three of them today. So it's not as
three shiny Pokemon.
Yeah, I caught two shiny. What do they call them? Clefairies.
Oh.
And then I caught nice. One shiny Sneasel today.
It's fun how they took the things that we remembered from the original Pokemon Yellow, and they were able to make Pokemon Let's Go feel exactly like it, but also better in every way, except catching them.
Yeah.
With the exception of that one like big blunder, I think that the game was tremendously successful at adapting an old game to giving it a new feel and really welcome new features. And I'd like to see them continue to go that way. I don't know why they wouldn't when the game is in the top 10 for most successful Switch games of all time. So yeah. they sold like 16.5 million or something like that, probably more. I don't remember exactly, but they were very successful.
So Red and Blue was based on, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee was based on Pokemon Yellow. So I wonder if they do remake it, if it's going to be based on Pokemon Crystal. Because they added a lot of stuff in Crystal. I'm super curious. If I had to guess now, I would say if they do it and they do give like the name, like Let's Go plus a Pokemon, I would say Let's Go Togepi and Let's Go Pichu makes the most sense. Otherwise it's going to be Let's Go Meryl and Let's Go either Pichu or Togepi.
That's, so you think those three?
I think those three are going to be the combination of what it could be. I don't know of any Pokemon in Gen 2 that has the name recognition they need to sell games.
Right. And they probably would avoid one of the starters, which are the ones that people are probably the most familiar with because they're the ones that you are introduced to first.
I can't imagine like a mom going to the store and seeing Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee next to Let's Go Togepi and say, I'm going to get Togepi.
Right.
They're going to say, I'm going to get the one that I know, you know, what it is. What is this Eevee, egg monster?
Like, Eevee's pretty well known.
Yeah,
but Eevee is
Eevee's
not
getting there for sure.
Yeah, not in Pikachu's league at all. Not even close. So moms who know nothing about Pokemon, they see Pikachu. They know what Pikachu is. Isn't that one of those Pokemons?
Yeah.
So, like, everybody knows who Pikachu is and what Pikachu is. I don't know that there's really another Pokemon that quite has that recognition. But Eevee was a good one to put there because Eevee's very special. Eevee's unique in a lot of ways. And I bought that version. Let's Go Eevee is the one that I got.
Yeah.
And I think that it made a lot of sense and it was cool. And Eevee is your rival's Pokemon in I think actually Eevee's your
in
rival's
yellow.
Pokemon only in yellow.
Yeah.
So it made a lot of sense. And then no matter what you did, they usually had I might be conflating the games now. I'm trying to think how you can influence the evolution of your opponent's Eevee, but I don't remember actually if you can. I don't remember now. I think I'm conflating
the
Pokemon games.
I only ever remember getting Flareon as the one that my opponents evolved into. But who knows? Maybe it could. Maybe it's random.
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
But either way, I mean, we have, what, 10 hours? 10 and a half hours before we find out what this is.
Is there anything else that you could see them announcing that would be a big enough deal to have a completely separate
They could remake Shinna. Was it Shino that needs to be remade?
I don't even know what that is.
So whatever region they haven't remade yet. The last remakes were Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, right?
That's the last one that comes to mind, but I wouldn't put money on it.
So let me see. Pokemon Generations, in order. Diamond and Pearl are next. So I think that's Gen 4. Yeah, Diamond and Pearl would be Gen 4. So I think that would be the next games that would warrant a remake. So I can't imagine that happening. I can't imagine they would make a game that would compete with Sword and Shield.
It wouldn't make any sense because Sword and Shield is still being supported with DLC.
Yeah.
One just released. Another one is going to release soon.
Let's Go makes the most sense. I mean, I'm not playing Sword and Shield. I own it. I stopped playing it almost instantly.
And it's did not buy the DLC, right?
No, I did not, which is, I will eventually. I don't have the time to play the game. Gold and Silver, though, like if they do Let's Go, Let's Go is more my speed. I mean,
yeah, same.
It's when you get, so kids at home, top secret. When you get older, you run out of time to do things, and you just want a very casual experience. I don't have the time to sit down outside of like my Paper Mario streams to like sit down and just like really think about playing a video game. It needs to be mindless. It needs to be just fun, and it needs to be quick. And that's what Let's Go did for me. I loved Let's Go for that. It was just, it was a fun, super quick experience that I could do. I played it for like a few months and then I finally beat it. So that's the experience I'm hoping to get from this one.
Yeah, that would be fun. I don't know that it makes sense for them to be remaking old games anymore.
Yeah.
Because at the time it was a good way to fill in the gaps between big titles.
Yeah.
But I think Let's Go could do that better than another remake of a game from a previous generation while they're still supporting the current generation.
Yeah, I agree. Very little time to wait, though. So are you ready to move on to the fun stuff?
Yeah, the fun stuff.
All right. TJ, I'm going to have you take the lead on most of this, at least for the first part with Min Min.
Okay.
So obviously Min Min's the fighter coming to Fighter Pass 2, the very first DLC fighter for Fighter Pass 2. We discussed a few times on the show how they would somehow make it where somebody with extendable arms could compete in Smash fairly.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job explaining it. So
I do too.
For me, Min Min is more of a gunner than a fighter. At least that's how I see her. Her projectiles take some time to charge up. So like there's a motion in play where it's kind of springing up and then it goes forward, gives the opponent time to dodge it, gives the opponent time to jump over it. I see her arms being more of a projectile than like actual fighting arms.
Yeah. It's like a tethered projectile, which makes it unique to the playstyle of any other character in the game.
Yeah.
And even more unique when you consider that you can launch each one separately. No other character has that play mechanic. And Sakurai had sort of teased beforehand, it's like it's hard to adapt the style of arms into Smash Brothers. So you're going to get a character whose mechanics are unlike any other. And I spent a lot of time thinking about them. Like, what could he possibly mean? How could it really be that much more difficult? But what I underestimated was his determination to preserve the integrity of the arms playstyle.
Yeah.
Where in arms, you can independently operate both arms. And in Smash Brothers, there's no character whose limbs operate independently. They're usually all set to a certain button input. But in Smash Brothers, Sakurai, instead of giving Min Min a special button, a dedicated normal attack and a dedicated special attack, one button operates her left arm and one button operates her right arm, which is so inventive. So she does still have special moves, but you're allowed to independently fire each arm off and in different directions, which makes her playstyle remarkably true to arms.
Yeah.
And because she's also a martial arts character, she has a tremendously dynamic range of kicks that are all also in the game. It's quite beautiful to see it translated into Smash Brothers. And I think that she's a very well-rounded character for a character with such an obvious bias towards long-range fighting. But the moves that she has at her disposal are extremely cool. I think she's going to be a little bit too challenging for me to really play a lot, but I have an incredible amount of appreciation for how she was developed, how she's programmed, and that she's in the game. I think you could you'll get some high level players who could do some unbelievable things when you can start using two attack buttons independently, simultaneously.
Yeah, and I've been watching more and more of the Smash Bros. Invitationals or the Smash Bros. Tournaments that Nintendo has been putting on quite frequently this summer. And I am in no way, shape, or form an expert Smash player. I'm not good at all. I play for fun. I do not play for glory. I play
you
just,
and me both.
Yeah, it's you are. I guarantee you, you're 10 times better than me. But that being said, I'm really curious to see how the competitive crowd is going to use her. Sometimes when a new character is introduced, they find ways to exploit that character and it needs to be nerfed. So I'm curious to see if that's going to be the case. But Sakurai has done an absolute fantastic job making sure each character is balanced. So I'm not overly concerned from that respect. But again, I'm a spectator only. I can't tell you the mechanics or what this character can and cannot do other than just watch other players like use her and kick ass. So either way, I'm excited to see what people are going to use for or use with her. I'm excited to try it out, and I'm kind of excited to see what the next fighter's going to be. I mean, they did a good job with this one. Obviously, I was dead wrong. I thought for sure it was going to be more than one fighter. I thought it was going to be at least two, possibly eight. I mean,
well, it was a little strange how they announced it because they said, hey, there's going to be a fighter from ARMS, but we're not going to tell you who it is. Which led people to speculate, myself included, that there was something unusual about it.
Yeah.
The only thing unusual about it is that it debunks the made-up fan rule that spirits cannot be characters. I'm so thankful for that. Thank God. Because
we were talking about that forever. I mean, that was never a rule.
It was never a rule. There's only one rule, and Mr. Sakurai explicitly laid it out himself. It's that the character must originate from a video game.
Yeah.
That's the only rule. It's his rule. If he wants to break that rule and put Goku in, which I don't see happening, he can. Please no. but I think it's a great rule. Smash Brothers began as a celebration of Nintendo games, and it's kind of expanded into a celebration of video games in general, from top to bottom, with its character installment to its music selections and its stages and its assist trophies. And then with spirits, like, the lid got taken off. Video games from throughout all generations since video games were first invented, across all companies. It really is amazing. But Min Min at least bucks that notion. People still are under the impression that if a character has a Mii costume, they can't be a character, which is baffling to me when so many of the characters in the current roster have Mii costumes, so I don't know how people can explain that. Captain Falcon has a Mii costume, and yet he's in the game. So figure that one. But Min Min has a spirit in Smash Brothers, and now she's a playable character. What I am curious to see is how that changes certain aspects of it. Sakurai did mention a few changes now to the game with respect to spirits. So now you can go to your spirits. First, he said, hey, you know, if you buy some of these DLC Mii costumes, it could influence the way that you see spirits in the game. The example he gave was Cup Man. If you bought the Cup Man suit, There is a Cupman spirit that you can unlock. If you have the Cupman Mii Fighter costume, you'll have a Mii Fighter as Cupman. Otherwise, you'll have Mega Man. So I like that they have such an incredible attention to detail. I wonder if that means that when you unlock the Min Min spirit, you actually fight Min Min. It would put her in a unique category where she's the only – well, I guess that's not true. I was going to say – I was wrong, but I was going to say that would make her the only fighter in the Smash roster who has a functional spirit, but that's completely not true because Mario has a ton.
Yeah.
Luigi has a ton. Bowser has a ton. So a lot of the current roster actually does have functional spirits, but they also have fighter spirits, which you can collect and look at, but they don't have any – spirit application. They don't have any special powers that you can assign to fight with. So I like that.
My eyes always glaze over when you talk about spirits. Not because it's boring, but because I don't know the first thing about them. I was never a spirit collector. I just never was.
Spirits are the new amiibo for me. The new amiibo.
Ooh, amiibo are the new amiibo for me.
Well, let's move on to one more thing about spirits. They also added a cool mode where if you go to your spirits collection and you look at all the spirits that you've gathered, you can rematch any of them at any point for a high score.
Which is awesome. I think that is something people have wanted for a long time. So,
because it's hard to specifically access certain spirit challenges.
Yeah.
If you go into World of Light and redo it, but then that's kind of a lot of walking just to do one spirit challenge, depending on where it is in the game. And then you got to remember where it is. And if you want to do it and it's on the spirit board, unless it's one of the DLC ones, you have to hope that it randomly populates on the spirit board. And out of thousands, there's like 1,500, I don't even remember how many there are now. There's a lot of spirits, well over 1,000. So to be able to just select the one that you want and play it as much as you want and improve your game at specific spirit challenges is amazing.
Yeah.
So on the subject of amiibo, we had talked about how if this June announcement came and went without mention of amiibo, I was going to reach your level of paranoia about these DLC characters. Fortunately, that did not happen. And even though we did get amazing amiibo news, there was also some weird amiibo talk. And we exchanged some tweets about this a little bit. And we kind of have a different opinion on it. But basically, to introduce the idea that new amiibo were coming, Mr. Sakurai said, "So every character in the base roster now has an amiibo. We have finished." Now, it's true in the case of characters like Zelda and Ganondorf that their appearance in this game is dramatically different, and it's a shame that we can't also have the new versions.
He was being so sarcastic.
I feel like he has a tendency to share trivia, and we even saw that throughout this. He's a man who loves video games, and sometimes he'll just share a seemingly unrelated anecdote or a seemingly tangential bit of trivia, like he did in this past direct with Captain Falcon. He's like, "Hey, maybe some of you guys noticed that we have this random soundbite of Captain Falcon that never appeared in the original N64 game, but we also never re-recorded with this actor who is very famous in Japan and also voices Vegeta."
Yeah.
"Well, we originally intended the original Smash Brothers to have Final Smashes, so that's why we recorded that Final Smash soundbite, but we were only able to implement it into a subsequent title." I love hearing that stuff.
Yeah.
But you don't expect to hear the arms reveal and get trivia about Captain Falcon's voiceover in N64. But yet he slips these things in. So I think he's also in some ways voicing his personal attitude towards amiibo, where he thinks it would be cool to have an Ocarina of Time Ganondorf and a Link Between Worlds Zelda.
Yeah.
But they're done. And it is what it is.
He kind of
used that to segue into Joker.
I saw what he said as, "Hold on, it's coming." I think that it makes sense. I really do. And my thought process behind it would be that we would expect to see it sometime around Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah, that's what we talked about.
We did.
And I'm not sure on that.
Granted, the Zelda makes no sense. I mean, this Zelda amiibo makes no sense to be included like in a bundle or something for Breath of the Wild 2. But I could see them saying, hey, it's we have a new Zelda coming out today, and we also have two Zelda amiibo that are compatible with this game that are also compatible with Smash. I could see that happening.
Well, because they did that already. They did. It was poorly timed, but they did the Legend of Zelda 30th Anniversary Collection disconnected to any game release. And we got Toon Zelda, Toon Link,
yeah.
Ocarina of Time Link, Skyward Sword Link, Twilight Princess Link, there a few others. And there was no specific game launch to connect with any of those. But then Breath of the Wild comes out, and bam, unique functionality for all of these, totally hitting everybody out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because people would have been scooping these amiibo up if they had known that it was going to have specific Breath of the Wild application. So for them to do that again and have maybe more cool Legend of Zelda amiibo continuing that Zelda series, that would be my amiibo dream come true.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like they're done with it. But if they wanted to and they'd release more Zelda amiibo and somehow Ocarina of Time Ganondorf was going to be one of them and Link Between Worlds Zelda was going to be one of them, it would make more sense to me being connected to that game and Sakurai just wanted to drop a little nugget about it, or maybe he knows nothing and he's just saying it would be awesome.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. I am reading into it that it's coming. That's just my personal... You're not going to change my mind.
I know.
I want this to happen so bad.
But I do too.
I want that Ganondorf amiibo.
Who famous... I do too. He famously likes to troll.
That's
and true. Oftentimes his trolling precedes a very satisfying fulfillment. Like when you look back at the King K. Rool reveal, originally they reveal King K. Rool by having King DDD pretend to be King K. Rool. He just trolled everybody in that reveal trailer. But then King K. Rool actually comes in.
Yeah.
And then he repeated that bit with Duck Hunt Dog pretending to be Banjo and Kazooie, but then only to be fulfilled by a legitimate Banjo and Kazooie inclusion, one of the greatest moments of any video game trailer of all time in the history of ever. So usually he doesn't troll to tease exclusively. Usually it does kind of lend to something, but it kind of read to me like a legitimate lament. Like he's like, in between what we made for the Wii U and what we made for the Switch, the entire base roster has an amiibo. Could we have done more? Yeah, but it is done. It is what it is. But
gotta keep the hope alive, man. I'm keeping the hope alive.
Now we did get to a look at Joker, and yeah. Joker is a next level amiibo.
It's by far the best looking small figure I've seen in the amiibo line. And before this, I would say Simon Belmont won the prize. Simon Belmont's a big beefy dude. Joker is not. Joker is a very skinny, skinny kid. And this figure, if this is what the production model looks like, which we can't depend on this being what it's going to look like. We have to look back at what they told us Marth was going to look like and what Marth really looked like. but again, Nintendo's getting much better with this stuff.
We know it's going to be good because the ones that they have shown in their promotional stuff most recently.
It's been pretty spot
been
on.
Pretty similar, yeah. Pretty similar to what they actually release.
But back
so
in the day.
Every good indication.
If we wanted a support, the support stands we got were very famously Link in his yellow P stand support.
Yep.
And otherwise a piece of plastic.
Yeah.
When Joker's pose came out, when Joker first got announced, the amiibo community was already concerned. Like, how are they going to strike this pose without a massive support? And they did. They needed a massive support. But this massive support fits it so well. This blue flame, which is 100% a cosmetic choice to replace a stand. is the smartest thing Nintendo's done from an aesthetic point of view with Amiibo to date, in my opinion. It is it's gorgeous. It fits the character. It fits the character so well.
Yeah, it actually redeems the peace stand in some ways because Joker's position is basically the same as Link's.
Yeah.
Where he's got one knee bent and his other leg is the only point of contact on the stand. And it would not be strong enough with just that toe tip peg pushed into the Amiibo base. But by giving it that blue, it actually accents how bland Joker's color scheme is.
Yeah.
And really makes that Amiibo pop.
The only concern I have with it, and it's such a minor concern, it's a good concern to have though. It's going to look so much better compared to the rest of the Amiibo on my shelf, because most Smash Amiibo, with the exception of Ridley,
and Ice Climbers, they have a really good one too.
Ice Climbers too. Most are not getting this kind of excess, like outside of the character support. So either way, I'm excited for it. And then obviously,
could you imagine
Hero
how cool
right
Captain
after.
Falcon? Yeah, wait, we got Hero. Say? Could you imagine how cool Captain Falcon's would be if he had like the Falcon kick flame?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that was holding him up. One. And it was like this really cool transparent fire. It was
that's awesome.
Awesome. But then right after that, we got Hero, and Hero is as generic as they come for the most part. He's holding a sword. He's got a shield. I mean, and I'm obsessed with Dragon Quest XI. It was my favorite RPG of the past 5 years, maybe 10. It beat out most Final Fantasy games I've played recently. Such a fun game. But Dragon Quest XI's Hero is probably the doofiest looking hero there's been in a while. He's got a little boy haircut. He's kind of bland for the most part, but he's charming. I like him.
You know, Akira Toriyama has a very specific art style, and he really only draws characters in like three or four different ways. So every single time I see that character, I think, oh, his hair's supposed to be purple or lavender because he looks just like Trunks from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
So it always registers as wrong to me when I look at it, because in my mind, I associate the Dragon Quest XI character with purple, but it's because his clothes are purple.
Yeah.
And the hair is from Trunks is like that lavendery purple. So it always registers as wrong. Like, oh, they messed up his hair. Oh, no. He's not actually Trunks.
Yeah.
That's the color it's supposed to be. But it is a shame that we're not going to get some of the more iconic Dragon Quest heroes as Amiibo.
We don't know that yet.
We don't know that, but I cannot think of a single. There's no cases ever. Oh, no, I'm wrong. I was going to say there were no cases where an alt was released as an Amiibo, but it happened in the case of all three of the final Amiibo from the Wii U. Cloud, Corn, Bayonetta.
I would like to think that Square could have some say in this. And Dragon Quest is a phenomenon in Japan. It's absolutely, it's a holiday when a new Dragon Quest game gets announced. I was looking at the lines at Japanese retail stores when Dragon Quest XI got released for the Switch, and it was insane. It was absolutely nuts. So I feel like if they did more Amiibo for Dragon Quest, maybe not so much in the US, but I think Japanese markets would eat it up.
Like, yeah, I'm sure.
I think this Amiibo is going to sell better than any Amiibo in the past however many years that Ultimate's been out. And the reason I say that is I think a lot of Dragon Quest fans that are not Smash fans are picking that Amiibo up just for the sake of picking it up.
Probably. Dragon Quest merchandise in America is non-existent. So if you're a fan and you want that's what I think a lot of Amiibo's original appeal was if you wanted like Punch-Out merchandise. There's no Punch-Out merchandise, but you can have a Little Mac Amiibo. And because it spanned all Nintendo franchises, and now they're even going beyond Nintendo franchises into other things like the Persona series and Dragon Quest, games where there's really not a ton of inexpensive little icons or trophies that you can carry around, I could see there being appeal outside of just the typical gamers.
Yeah.
Even Persona fans who don't own a Nintendo console at all or Smash Brothers are going to buy this
Amiibo for sure.
Because they love Joker and they want to have that.
Oh, I completely agree. I think Joker is going to sell like crazy in the US. I've already seen it on message boards and forums that people just want the Amiibo, have no intention to play him in Smash.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. I mean, these are both coming out in fall. We don't know how far into fall they're coming out.
And the other thing is they haven't released Amiibo in twos yet. So that means that the chances that Banjo is going to be included in this release, I think, are pretty high.
Yeah, I think so too. And that was going to be my next point. It's either going to be these two first and then maybe two more in winter. Otherwise, they're going to do three. I would love to see Banjo this year. I would absolutely love to see Banjo this year. Part of me wonders, I mean, obviously Microsoft and Nintendo are buddy-buddy, but I wonder if it's a more complicated thing selling a tangible physical item like an Amiibo and sharing the love with such a huge competitor. But
yeah, we've talked about a little bit how I would just love to be able to see the contractual arrangements that Nintendo has with all these companies for Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
They have to be so unbelievably intricate, and every company, I'm sure, has a different arrangement, and no one will ever know what it is, I'm sure, but I would be so fascinated to know.
So by the way, TJ, the chat was able to mention that Dark Samus and Richter were a duo.
Oh, thanks, chat.
Yep. They got us.
You know what? In light of that, now that I think about it, maybe they will just release these two because there are five in this Fighter's Pass. So that would mean that the next Amiibo wave could have three. So they were going to have to break it up somehow. Either they were going to put three first and then do two, or they were going to include fighters from the second Fighter's Pass, which means Min Min would be included with the other ones, presumably if they go in order, which they have not really done. So
I do not want to have to wait like 2.5 years to.
You for sure are.
I mean, you totally I'm getting memories of Cloud Corn and Bayonetta, like just how long we had to wait for those guys. It was well over a year. It was almost two.
Yes. Well, at least in this case, you won't know who you're waiting for because it's going to take them 2 years just to release all of the fighters.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm hoping that we get more than two this year. Because, I mean, it seems like fall's not that far away, but I feel like it's pretty far away.
Now, I know that that this can't be helped, and it's just the situation that it is, but I just want to take a small moment to lament how disappointing it is that the Amiibo releases don't coincide with the character releases.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that day and date Joker could come out, and then we get a Joker Amiibo.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be the best possible way to promote these, and they were able to achieve that once. Like when they first launched Smash, they had 12 characters.
Yeah.
Day and date. And they've been able to do that with other series and Amiibo. But Smash, because of the development schedule and the production schedule, and now it's even more challenging with the work from home situation, it's never going to be a reality, I don't believe.
Piranha Plant was close. I think Piranha Plant was the closest.
Piranha Plant was super, super far away because
Piranha Plant was in like the second wave, if I remember correctly, of Smash Ultimate Amiibo.
It was definitely weird how Piranha Plant came out before base roster characters.
Yeah.
I remember thinking of that, but that would definitely be the closest. It would be amazing, though, if they could be like, hey, guess what? Min Min comes out on the 29th and you can pick up her Amiibo.
Or but make the Amiibo $20 and say, this is the DLC. Buy the Amiibo, tap it on, you got your character. Or
that would be so cool.
I mean, that was always my hope. I mean, that's how Skylanders functions. But I get they don't want to alienate people. I mean, at bare minimum, they could just say, hey, you know, you can buy the DLC on your own, or you can buy this for $20. It comes with a code. You know, pop the code in the game and you're good to go.
You know, you can have an Amiibo for a character that you don't have in your game. And it still functions as that Amiibo. You don't actually need the character. So, like, you could, let's say I didn't buy Fighter's Pass 1, which I did, of course. and I bought the Joker amiibo. I could scan the Joker amiibo into Smash Brothers, and I still have a Joker amiibo, even though I can't select Joker as a playable character.
So it would still, he would work as an FP.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
That Which is out. Kind of awesome. That's like the best way to do it, because then you could still use the amiibo even if you don't have the DLC.
Oh, crazy times. I'm just happy. I'm just happy we finally have confirmation. We have two amazing looking amiibo. I am psyched for Hero. I am psyched for Joker. It's going to be a long wait.
Not to introduce doubt, but I was a little... As soon as he said, hey, here's Joker, and then next, of course, that means Hero, and he showed them off, and but he didn't stop there. He said, so there are, of course, other fighters, and, you know, we don't really know if they're going to get amiibo. Do you think he was just talking out of turn, or
I didn't interpret that as that. I interpreted what he said as there are other fighters, and the way we distribute these fighters might be different than what we've done before. I saw that as there might be maybe more limited runs of these. Obviously, amiibo are in no way, shape, or form in the heyday anymore. You can go on Amazon right now and pick up almost any amiibo that's been out in the last like year. Many are discounted. You go to stores, you go to Walmart or Target, most amiibo are up or still available. And that's just not how it used to be. So maybe it's going to be more limited. Maybe Nintendo is going to start selling some of these directly through their own stores. That's how I interpreted it. I can't imagine they would announce two DLC fighters and then just say, we're not sure what we're doing with the rest.
Yeah, I am hoping that this is an indication of their commitment to finishing it. I have every reason to suspect they probably will. But it was a weird thing for him to say. He said it in a weird way.
He did say it in a weird way. I'll give you that.
It gave me some pause. Now, do you think there's any chance that in that Pokemon reveal that they're going to introduce the next Smash DLC character?
No. No. No way.
I don't either.
No way.
But I wouldn't be surprised if the next Smash DLC character was a Pokemon.
Please don't. I don't want to think about that. Let's not do that. Pokemon, Fire Emblem, they're done. They're done. They're cut off. Fire Emblem was done before the last Fire Emblem character.
Yeah. Yes, it was. And I hope that there's not enough room in this next Fighter's Pass to squeeze in another Fire Emblem character.
I'm beginning to think Sora's very likely. I think Sora's going to happen. I think we are going to see Waluigi at some point. He's going to be dead last. I think he's going to be the last fighter announced.
He's going to be like number bigger seven. Or better. Yeah, nobody bigger or better to put in there than Waluigi. He would be the ultimate success story.
Yeah. So that's my thought. If it's a Pokemon or if it's Fire Emblem, I'm going to lose my mind. But whatever. It's a game. It's not my baby. It's Sakurai's baby. I'm going to buy it anyway. So,
yeah.
TJ, I would love to keep talking, but I got to...
This has been our longest podcast yet. I know it's getting late by you.
I have to get up early for this Pokemon thing. TJ, where can the good folks at home find you?
Well, you can check out my Smash Predictions video if you haven't seen it yet on YouTube. And it's at the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel. And I want to know what you think, too, because now we know I got one of them right. Let's see if I can keep that win streak going. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can check out at Custom Conquest.
Awesome. And if you're looking for me, you can find me on YouTube, too. I started putting videos back up. The first episode of the Wiretap for almost a month went up yesterday because it was Amiibo News Day. I had to put something up.
I saw that.
I'm streaming on Twitch about 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. I do the podcast on Twitch now with TJ, and then we are playing Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, which is fun. And then obviously you can find me at NintendoWire.com and my personal Twitter account at AmiiboJason. Anything else, TJ?
If you are enjoying this podcast, we would really appreciate a review. Oh, and I know it's been 2 weeks since we've podcasted, which is the biggest hiatus we've taken since doing the podcast. And a couple of you guys reached out on Twitter to let us know that you missed the show. And I want to let you know that I really appreciate that. And sometimes it feels like we're just talking to ourselves.
Yeah.
And so to hear feedback that you miss us when we're gone is really affirming. So
super nice to see, for sure. All right, guys, until next time, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.